This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
As strange sounds around the world continue to be reported by individuals, theories about what's causing the sounds range from Mother Nature and the cosmos to suspicions that in this year of 2012, linked to the end of the Mayan grand calendar, that secret government projects could be experimenting with human reactions, like the new DARPA battlefield deception plan I will talk more about at the end of this Earth Files podcast. Most recently, in February 2012, a dozen new videos were added at YouTube that include an eerie sound from Dunkirk, New York, posted on February 16th, that starts off as white noise and becomes horn-like. Here is an excerpt from that Dunkirk sound now. The month before in Germany, a horn-like sound set off car alarms and was recorded and uploaded to YouTube on January 20th, 2012. One of the comments about the Germany video was posted from a Maryland couple who wrote, quote, "My wife and I heard nearly identical sounds to the German video clearly emanating from the sky on January 22nd and 23rd in Maryland, just 23 miles from the White House. It was loud and extremely disconcerting. We were so stunned we did not even think to pull out our iPhones to record it. That sound was the weirdest thing I have ever heard in my 50-plus years of life." Close quote. Some theories about the source of the strange sounds include rocks sliding against rocks underground in seismic events, or atmospheric changes caused by increased solar activity interacting with Earth's magnetic fields. In that last category, at the end of January on the 28th, an alleged Azerbaijan geophysicist named Elchin Khalilov released a web article entitled, quote, "Strange Sounds in Sky Explained by Scientists," close quote. Why he used scientists plural in his title, since he is the lone author, is as puzzling as his alleged hypothesis that the strange global sounds are produced by, quote, "acoustic gravity waves caused by powerful solar flares and plasma emissions from the sun as solar activity began to rise sharply since early 2011, close quote. So I contacted David Hathaway, Ph.D., solar physicist at the NASA Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama. Dr. Hathaway has been predicting for the past year that the 2013 solar maximum will be the weakest in nearly a century. His colleagues at the National Solar Observatory in Tucson, Arizona, have also presented research data that sunspot magnetic fields are weakening by about 50 Gauss per year. Their conclusion is that sunspots could completely vanish around 2015. Beginning a Maunder minimum cycle not seen for 300 years since 1715. All this means that, contrary to the Elchin Khalilov web paper, there is nothing especially strong about solar cycle 24 as it moves toward maximum a year from now in the summer of 2013. And I began my interview with Dr. Hathaway by playing for him an excerpt from the Norway video that has been described as like an old TV set playing, but you can't understand the words.
Yeah.
and I played for him the Kiev, Ukraine horn-like sounds. Then I read to Dr. Hathaway the opening sentences of Mr. Khalilov's web article that is supposed to explain how the sounds might be produced by solar plasmas and magnetic field interactions, but Dr. Hathaway disagrees. Here now is my interview after playing some of the strange sounds for NASA solar physicist David Hathaway. Dr. Hathaway, I'm quoting from Strange Sounds in Sky Explained by Scientists by Mr. Khalilov on January 28, 2012. The article begins, quote, "We have analyzed records of these sounds and found that most of their spectrum lies within the infrasound range, not audible to humans. What people hear is only a small fraction of the actual power of these sounds. They are low-frequency acoustic emissions in the range between 20 and 100 hertz, modulated by ultra-low infrasonic waves from 0.1 to 15 hertz. In geophysics, they are called acoustic gravity waves. They are formed in the upper atmosphere, at the atmosphere-ionosphere boundary in particular." Close quote. Now, that's his lead, and that these low-frequency acoustic emissions and the acoustic gravity waves that they produce are what he is saying is the essence of these sounds. What is your comment, Dr. Hathaway?
The description that you read me where we call these acoustic gravity waves, it sounded like he was just spouting scientific terms without any real attribution as to this is where the noise is coming from. I'm unaware of any significant sounds coming from aurorae. People in Alaska that have been studying aurorae for decades, I'm sure would have heard them and would have set up microphones in an array so you can pinpoint where is the sound coming from, what is its frequencies that are being produced. Certainly the sound that I heard, that was very much in the audible range. You hear all the city sounds in this
strange horn-like.
Yeah, horn-like, I think, is the correct description, but I really doubt that solar activity producing it. This is a small sunspot cycle. We've had huge sunspot cycles prior to this, so I strongly suspect that this is not the case.
And isn't it true that ultra-low infrasonic is usually what might be associated with solar plasmas interacting with magnetic fields?
Yeah, I mean, big things make low sounds.
Yeah.
So it's called infrasound because it's below the 20 hertz that human ears can hear. As far as solar activity and its effect on the Earth, certainly it produces the ionosphere, produces aurorae, produces a lot of things. If that activity was producing sounds like this, scientists would have been quick to jump on it. I mean, we're curious folks, We've been studying solar activity and aurorae in the ionosphere for a long time now, and I think if sounds like this, if they were associated with it, I'm sure we would have been on top of it a long time ago.
Could you explain what happens on the sun, what leaves the sun, what interacts with Earth's magnetic fields that produces aurora?
The particles that produce aurora come from within the Earth's magnetic field, but they are energized and ultimately produced by disturbances hitting the Earth's magnetic field, and those disturbances come from the sun. So if we start at the sun, we have flares on the surface of the sun that are produced by twisted magnetic fields in sunspots that have blast material off of the sun, a billion tons of matter moving at a million miles an hour, in what we call a coronal mass ejection. And so this is a cloud of ionized matter with embedded magnetic fields that's thrown off of the sun through the solar system. And when they're thrown at Earth, coronal mass ejection that's launched from a position that's near the center of the sun as we view it, That coronal mass ejection goes through the solar system in a matter of a couple days, reaches the Earth, and that's where the electrons that produce the aurora come from. They spin around magnetic field lines, and as they come into the atmosphere, they strike nitrogen and oxygen that's in our atmosphere, and if it's high enough up where they hit, they produce the colors. Reds produce real high, and you can often see red aurorae at fairly low latitudes during a big storm.
Why are they high?
Because of the path that the magnetic field lines take. For the electrons to get down low into the atmosphere, it's difficult at lower latitudes, just because the magnetic field lines, instead of coming into the atmosphere, are more or less moving along it. They're moving at an angle more parallel to the surface of the Earth instead of coming in through the atmosphere.
Now, some of the most spectacular aurorae photographs, they have had beautiful curves to them. Are we seeing the curves of the magnetic fields?
Yeah, very much so. It's what the electrons streaming down. And so depending upon which field lines they'll come down, they're often like curtains. And the one or two I've seen, they look like curtains that are continually moving around, and it's because the electrons are coming down on different magnetic field lines as they stream into the atmosphere.
So is it fair for me as a reporter to say that acoustic gravity waves could not explain the horn-like sounds in the Kiev, Ukraine video or the strange up-and-down white noise in the Norway video?
It's highly unlikely. No, I think they're really off on the wrong foot there. Certainly something is making those noises. I'm just incredulous about the possibility that it's solar activity that's producing them.
So in all of your work as a solar physicist, you have never heard of anyone anywhere on the planet hearing or recording sounds from plasmas interacting with the Earth's magnetic fields?
Actual acoustic sounds, I don't know of any scientific studies that say there was this aurora and we detected these sounds from that aurora.
Is there anything that is going on with the sun and this solar system that might be different now in 2011 to 2012 than has ever been between the sun and the solar system before? Is there any anomaly that you all have even had curiosity about?
Not that I can think of. Nothing. Everything's pretty much as it was.
So we truly have a mystery about what would be producing horn-like sounds and strange white noise, staticky, loud sounds around the world in just the last year. What if it is a real phenomenon being generated at certain latitudes and longitudes for reasons unknown?
Then it would be really interesting.
That's why I'm trying to figure out what is going on. Exactly. What is the current status, from your point of view, of the activity of the sun and the relationship to that controversial question, will this be a strong solar max or a weak one?
We are approaching maximum. I still suspect and predicting that maximum will be about the middle of next year, 2013, and that it's going to be a smaller than average cycle.
You still think that?
I still do.
So why are we getting all of these strong solar flares that are producing what some people who live in the Arctic and Norway and that area say are the most astounding aurora they've ever seen?
I haven't heard that. Certainly there's been some spectacular aurorae, but the number of flares, the number of aurorae is totally in line with the size of the cycle as we see it. Since we had this long lull of little activity, we've gotten very excited when the sun does produce things and forget that 10, 12 years ago, we were seeing very much the same sort of activity.
2 weeks ago, NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center released its monthly update of the ongoing solar cycle 24 sunspot activity for January 2012. Just like the month before in December, the solar sunspot numbers plunged to a low that hasn't been seen since March 2011. Over the past year, The sun's activity has fluctuated from strong to weak at least four times since the fall of 2010. To have such low sunspot activity now, as maximum is supposed to be revving up, means that Dr. Hathaway's prediction is holding up, that the solar cycle 24 maximum next summer of 2013 could be the weakest in nearly a century. So, if it is not the Earth's atmosphere, what if some of the strange sounds around the world were part of an American government test of what some have called voice of God weapons? Around the time of 9/11, there were rumors that the Defense Department wanted to try directing sound waves into the minds of Middle East terrorists as the voice of Allah that would order terrorists to put down their suicide belts. Wired.com published a July 6, 2008 article entitled, quote, "The Microwave Scream Inside Your Skull," close quote. That described the U.S. Army's effort to develop a non-lethal microwave weapon that would create sounds inside human heads. That project was called MEDUSA, an acronym for Mob Excess Deterrent Using Silent Audio. A beam of microwaves would be turned into sound as the waves interacted with the target's head. Nobody else can hear the microwave sound unless they are in the beam as well. But the shock to the target skull was more likely to make MEDUSA a death ray, so allegedly that project was dropped. However, in February 2012, Wired.com writer Noah Shachman described brand new DARPA research in an article he entitled, quote, "Magic Plan, Battlefield Illusions to Mess with Enemy Minds," close quote. DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency in the U.S. Department of Defense, responsible for the development of new military technology. Shachman reported that on February 13th, quote, "DARPA introduced a new $4 million investigation into technologies that will manage the adversary's sensory perception in order to confuse, delay, inhibit, or misdirect his actions," close quote. The goal of battlefield illusions electro-optical warfare is to find ways to, quote, "jam laser-based communications and sensor systems, just like today's radio frequency jammers mess with cell phones and radars," close quote.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.